And now, from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting to Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, throughout the nine worlds and beyond, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. You are tuned to the immortal sounds of Radio Free Asgard.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Radio Free Asgard. This is episode number 170, coming at you, as always, from beautiful Chicago, Illinois, where we're having a beautiful fall day. Actually, the last few days have been really nice, folks. It's been up in the 50s and 60s all week, and today had a high of 64 degrees. Of course, that is all going away as of Wednesday. The day before the show comes out is supposed to be a high of 35. We're starting to get into our late fall, early winter weather pattern now, and our first polar vortex. So, yeah, 30-degree drop over the next 48 hours does not sound like a lot of fun to me, but you know what? That's what you get for living in Chicago anyway. It's one of those places where if you don't like the weather, just wait a while and it'll change. All right. So, of course, we do have an issue of Thor to cover. I've been thinking a lot lately about what to go to next because we're going to be covering through the end of the Lee Kirby era, which is only a few issues. It's really not that far. It kind of culminates in a two-issue story, which is written by Stan Lee and illustrated by Neil Adams. And in a lot of ways, it feels like the end of the Silver Age. I mean, it really, to me, it has the feel at that point of leaving the classic era behind and going into something different. And that is kind of why I chose those two issues. So we're going to cover up through those two issues, and then we're going to be moving on to something else, probably getting back to Thor God of Thunder, because I'd like to finish covering that series before we start moving on to some of the newer stuff. And of course, we got, you know, Girl Thor, and we also have some of the other stuff that I'd like to cover. There's so much that I want to cover, and that's always the case, you know, that there's so much stuff that I want to cover. So little time. That just is how it seems. But, you know, we do want to get there eventually. All right. So we do have an issue to cover here. So let's just go ahead and move on to our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder.
Indeed, and this week we are covering The Mighty Thor, issue number 176. May 1970 is the cover date. Retail price, 15 whopping cents. Cover art is by Jack Kirby, inked by Bill Everett. Shows Thor squaring off against the evil Surtur. And Surtur has actually changed a lot since his first appearance. I think if you guys remember, in his first appearance, he had this really top-heavy design where he had this big, broad shoulders and arms, and then he had these little, smaller legs, kind of goat-like legs, and these big, huge horns. And here he's much more, I don't know, kind of a stereotypical superhero design where he's very human-looking design. And he's got these big horns and he's crushing some sort of, I don't know, building or weapon or something in one hand. And in front of him is the Hollywood sign, except it says Inferno. It's actually what it looks like. I know it's the title of the story, but it actually looks like he's standing in front of a sign that says Inferno. And we have the cover blurb. See the thunder god trapped by the flames of Surtur, the fire giant. And we open up to the splash page where we have the credits. Stan Lee and Jack Kirby produced this. Vinnie Coletta returns on the ink. So we'll talk a little bit about that later. And Artie Simek was the letterer. Now, incidentally, if you wanted to follow along, this issue has been reprinted in a couple of places, most notably in The Essential Thor Volume 4 and in Marvel Masterworks Thor Volume 9. Pick them up at a comic shop or show near you. And this issue picks up pretty much exactly where the last issue left off, with Loki having seized control in Asgard, having seized Odin's ring from him while he slept. So he's kind of jacked the magic ring, so Loki has his precious. And we have a little bit of exposition here before the story. Even Loki has seized the power royal in Imperial Asgard, while Almighty Odin sleeps the fateful Odin sleep. Even mighty Thor is honor-bound to pledge allegiance to the Prince of Evil. And so the stage is set for the deadly Inferno! As in big red letters. And Thor is standing in front of Loki, and Loki apparently sitting on the throne. He's wearing a really fancy crown sort of headgear that we, you know, of a type that we've never actually seen him wear before. But, you know, as with most of these Kirby things, it looks pretty awesome. And Thor is saying to Loki, "So long as thou dost wear the mystic Odin ring, I have no course but to serve thee. Yet I say thee now, most sinister stepbrother, in heart, in soul, in thought, in spirit, ever shall I be thy foe eternal." And Loki's not taking any of that.
"Thy words are but the babbling of a vanquished slave. For slave thou art, and slave shalt thou be ever."
"Loki, hast thou so soon forgot? When Odin wakes, Thor's hammer shall be free to strike."
"But think, accursed thunder god, what if Odin wake no more?"
"Thy lips have uttered blasphemy most foul. Not even thou may slay him who is the power and the life." And Thor looks like he might be getting ready to smack Loki with his hammer.
Loki kind of draws back, and guards have seized Thor. And points at Thor.
"Be thou silent, slave. The ring is mine."
"And so shall be the judgment," says Thor.
"To the dungeons with thee. Nevermore shall Thor know freedom."
"If thou prevail, then may the heavens fall, for life will have no meaning."
And the guards are getting ready to take Thor away. And Volstagg happens upon the scene, or he's kind of peeking around the curtain in to see what's going on.
"To think that valiant Volstagg would live to see the mighty Thor made subject to the will of Loki. Oh, tragic hour. Oh, mournful day."
And one of the guards comes up behind him, and Volstagg's peeking through the curtain. His big ol' ass is sticking out from behind the curtain, and the guard is getting ready to whack him with his big ol' mace. And the guard is like,
"Buffoon, thou darest spy upon the court of Loki? For such blind folly, you must pay the price."
And he whacks him with the mace of the giant Patoom. And all it does is get Volstagg's attention. He kind of turns around and looks at the guard, and the mace is completely destroyed. Volstagg is like,
"What? The flea doth presume to goad the lion?"
"Thy quivering flesh, it hath flattened my mace."
"Not half so much as it shall now flatten thee."
"Mercy, mountainous one, mercy!"
"Mercy? For him who serves the evil Loki?"
And Volstagg crashes the guy, just smashes him into the wall, and the whole wall goes tumbling in with a giant crack. And the guard is like,
"Fie upon thee, brazen knave!"
And a bunch of guards come running in.
"Seize him! Seize him! Forsooth, canst not thou take a simple jest?"
And we see the other two warriors, three, kind of leaping into Volstagg's defense. So we have Fandral and Hogan.
"Stand thee aside, voluminous one. My steel shall strike for thee," says Fandral.
"So shall my mace."
"Fandral, Hogan, there is no need. But since thou art here, valorous Volstagg shall turn about and guard the rear."
"A task for which he shall be most perfect. A task for which he be most perfect suited.
Aye. Since all our foes now stand before us," says Fandral.
"Though our lips have pledged allegiance to thy master Loki, the pledge doth not apply to such as thee."
And Hogan is smashing these guys with his mace, just knocking them all down, and I mean, really smashing their armor, doing them real damage.
"Thus shalt thou fall before the fury of my mace."
"Well spoke, heroic Hogan, and Fandral's blade now echoes thee," and he's doing a swashbuckler thing.
And Hogan is like,
"Fandral, to my side. They seek now to surround thee."
"Surround the fastest blade in all the realm? 'Tis not worthy of reply." And now behold, 'tis I who shall attack. And he does this very Errol Flynn thing here where he grabs a curtain and he kind of swings across the crowd of guards and he's swacking at him with the sword, deflecting all the, you know, the weapons of the guards.
Ha! Most truly thou art oafs and bumblers all. Thy sword should sing a symphony of slashing savage steel. Oh, God, no, that's a Stan Lee line if I ever heard one. But blunted are thy blades and timorous thy thrusts. To parry, to lunge with perfect grace. How like a sonnet, how like an ode. And Fandral is really easily deflecting all these things. And I have to say, this is a really, really well laid out page here. But thou knowest not of the gesture of gallant, of daring, of dashing, of flashing finesse. Yet do but wave thy feeble blades, and Fandral shall soon teach thee. And Fandral he's doing pretty awesomely well against these guys. He gets backed up against a pillar, so he's got these guards kind of coming at him. Come closer, lads. Come closer still. 'Tis one lone blade against many. But the blade and the skill and the daring, too, belong to dashing Fandral. And, it's not a pillar. It's a giant vase, though it's really, really hard to tell from this. And Fandral starts to tilt the giant vase, trying to topple it over on the guards.
Back! Back! He tilts the earthen vase upon us!
And the vase falls down with a giant baroom and sends the guards flying. And Fandral is just kind of rolling on it, you know, kind of like a lumberjack rolls on a log in the water. It's kind of what he's doing here.
I beg thee all, do not despair. Thy plight could be far worse.
And then the vase shatters and Fandral kind of goes tumbling down too.
Thy lesson, alas, is incomplete, for Balder be not here.
And Loki has taken notice of all this going on, obviously, since they crashed into the throne room.
A most amusing performance, reckless one, but now must fall the curtain.
And Loki holds out the ring, and it's kind of glowing in front of Fandral.
The Odin ring. I cannot defy it. Now bend thy knee to Loki. Ne'er again shalt thou oppose my servitors, for by the power of this ring I wear, Fandral too is Loki's vassal.
And it's kind of an energy blast of magic or whatever, and he knocks Fandral out, and Loki's commanding the guards here.
Away with him! Bring him to the others who thy liege hath vanquished.
And they don't show what went on with Hogun and Volstagg, but apparently they managed somehow to knock out Hogun, and they put this weird, it looks like a pumpkin or something on his head, and there's like gas oozing out of it, and they're like,
this vapor helmet hath finally subdued the savage Hogun.
Let them join the captive Thor.
And the guards are carrying everyone away, and we shift scenes to a couple of guards, and they're riding their horses on the outskirts of fabled Asgard, and they're talking during all this.
If Odin waketh not, the universe is doomed.
What dire deeds will now be done in the name of evil Loki?
With Odin gone and Thor enslaved,
what age-old demon shall arise to... But wait! Behold!
Yonder, in the distance, the awesome sight of growing flame. Within yon rock, an enchanted symbol... wearing the hallmark of regal Odin.
But now the symbol fades, as all-consuming fire engulfs it. Fall back! The flame grows ever higher!
It cannot be! Mere lifeless rock possesseth not the power to burn. By the golden gates, it doth explode!
What magic do we this day witness?
And we see, basically what they've explained is this giant sigil in the fire, and then all of a sudden it explodes upward. And we don't find out what happens because we shift scenes yet again. And we are in the dungeons of Asgard. And we have the guards and they're tossing Fandral in. And Thor and Hogun are already in the cell. And they didn't bother to leave the vapor helmet thing on Hogun. And what makes me wonder is they left Hogun's helmet on because he's wearing his helmet here and he's unconscious. So... why did the horns on his helmet not puncture this pumpkin bag thing full of gas? It doesn't make any sense. Anyway, so Thor is in there, and there the guards are throwing Fandral in. And Thor says,
Fandral, Hogun,
then Loki's triumph is truly complete. But there still be no sign of noble Baldur. And then they see that the guards are trying to cram Volstagg through the door, and it looks like the door jamb is kind of buckling here under Volstagg. They're trying to push Volstagg in here sideways.
Who speaks of Baldur when voracious Volstagg is thus summarily manhandled?
Into the dungeon with him. Squeeze! Squeeze!
Hod's blood! 'Tis not a sack of flour thou dost pummel. May all thine offspring dwell atop trees!
Well, that makes no sense. And they, anyway, so they slam the door, and the warriors three and Thor are all trapped.
Be thou silent, Volstagg, says Thor. There is much to think upon. Ne'er hath the realm faced such peril dire. What of thine hammer, Thunder God? Doth it not possess its power still? Aye, but my lips have pledged loyalty to the realm. Thus who can I strike when Loki and the realm are one?
And as soon as Thor says that, there's a voice coming from around the corner.
Lose not thy faith, noble Thor. No such vow hath Baldur taken. That is why I have hid, where thine evil brother might not find me. And everyone's surprised to see him. Baldur! Loyal one, truly thou art our only hope. And so long as breath endures, I swear I shall not fail thee, says Baldur. Though Loki doth rule, Baldur doth not obey. Thus am I an outlaw hunted. Thus shall Baldur fight for thee. Now stand thee back, as Baldur strikes in the name of Odin, for 'twas him who enchanted the blade I hold.
I think this is the first time that we've ever had Baldur with an enchanted weapon. I could be wrong about that, but it seems to me that we've never seen that before, so that's kind of interesting.
And for him alone do I wield it now, says Baldur.
And he draws his enchanted sword back, and with a bakow, he smacks at the bars of the prison, knocks out all of the bars, apparently. I mean, really just smashes out the whole front of it. And frees Thor and the Warriors Three. And Thor comes out of the cell. And Volstagg waddles out, and he's got Fandral, kind of his arm around Fandral, helping him out. And he's got Hogan tucked under his other arm, and he's coming out.
Now art thou free to flee the realm, says Baldur. Baldur, I do say thee nay, says Thor. Though I be pudged not to fight, still may I serve. And so say we all, says Volstagg. First I must find my lady Sif, with a sword of Baldur at thy side.
And there's some weird inking here. We'll talk about that a little bit later.
Meanwhile, Odin hath great need of thee. Guard him most well, till he doth awake.
And he's talking to the Warriors Three here, and Hogan's like, 'Twill be done, O Prince. So Hogan has recovered in the space of two panels. He's unconscious when Volstagg carries him out, and now he's okay. And we shift scenes again, and we're back in the royal palace. We have Loki sitting on a little stool, and who should be there but Sif? And Loki has a little bit of entertainment planned.
If Loki commands, thou hast no choice to be my queen.
Never, Prince of Evil. Sif would sooner die.
Then let me test thee. Let fear give the lie to thy words so rash. Thou shalt face in combat a female troll. Then shalt thou choose twixt Loki or death.
And the female troll comes out, and she's kind of this misshapen creature. She looks different from the other trolls we've seen, but I mean, that's more because, you know, they're kind of orange and furry, and they've got long hair. And the female troll is kind of Caucasian looking. And she's heavy set and got weird proportions in the way the trolls do. She's got a big stone-looking club in one hand and a shield that looks like it's just three logs tied together with a rope in the other. And she's got this weird, it's kind of cool, face mask thing that, you know, kind of crisscrosses over her face and ends in these big horns. And Loki is kind of urging them on.
Her mason shield gainst naught but thy naked blade.
No, she is no match for such as me.
And we then shift scenes, and we are in the distant part of the tortured realm, says the caption, which I assume is just, you know, Muspelheim or right on the edge. And remember the two guards, they discovered the flaming sigil of Odin, and it exploded. Well, we're back to that. And we have a large red figure with horns kind of coming out of the hole.
At last I am free! Free! Free!
A voice from deep within the mounting flames.
The die is cast.
With Odin gone, the spell is broke.
Surtur lives once more. Now shall the flame giant triumph over all.
And he's kind of raising up out of this big pool of flame. And he's got these big horns, but they're not staying in shape. So they're like these big rubber dildos on his head. I mean, they're just kind of wobbling, wibbly, wobbly, horny, warny, I guess. I mean, I know I kind of teased Jack Kirby for not being able to draw things the same way twice, but this is, even for Kirby, I think a little much. The idea of Surtur having these big wobbly rubber horns on his head is kind of weird.
First shall Asgard be destroyed, and then the universe entire.
And the guards have managed to escape. They're riding away, and then they see this giant ring of flame coming up, and this is like a Johnny Cash song.
Above us in the sky, a giant ring of flame doth rise. It seeks to encircle the realm eternal. And the flame's burning higher, and it burns, 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 the ring of fire. Yeah.
Anyway, we shift back to Loki's throne room where Sif is fighting the female troll.
It cannot be. The goddess attacks. The troll grows weak,
which is kind of odd because they just started fighting.
No more! No more! I have met my match!
Fight on, or Loki himself shall smite thee!
No, sire! No! I beg thee!
And a hand reaches out, grabs the wrist of the female troll, and we see it's Thor's hand.
The joust is ended! Now get thee gone!
And the troll goes running away.
Our fight is not with such as thee!
And Baldur is here as well.
Loki, rise. The deed is done. Now must thou pay the price. Of all thou hast betrayed, only Baldur hath not sworn thee fidelity.
No matter, warrior. Thy words are waste. Thy cause is lost. The prize already mine. Now sheathe thy sword. 'Twill avail thee not.
And Loki summons one of his helpers, and we get this guy. He's not your typical guard. He's got these huge pointed like bat ears and carrying a cup, and Loki is either, you know, handing the cup back to him or taking it from him. It's really kind of hard to tell.
Bring forth the fabled enchanty screen. I would have thee see why thou art ever doomed to failure.
And so one of the guard looks like the vizier, actually. It's hard to tell. Brings forward one of Odin's cosmic voyeroscopes.
Since thou claimest to serve the sleeping Odin, let Odin be revealed!
And Loki shoots this pink beam out of his ring, and it activates the enchanty screen, and we see kind of the rocky outer space looking kind of landscape, and there's, you know, suns and moons and Kirby Crackle and all this. And in the middle of that, there's the metal capsule, very vibrator looking capsule with a window in it, and we see in the window that Odin is inside this capsule thing.
Still doth he slumber, but no longer in the chamber royal.
My father, what hast thou done with him?
He doth repose within a capsule, which rests in the sea of eternal night.
Aye, though still he lives, within yon place there is no awakening. Thus shall Loki rule, till time itself is but a faded memory.
And Thor is pissed off at this.
You dare do this to him who is the sovereign, to him who is the strength?
And we get a kind of a close-up of Loki's hand with a ring on it.
I dare. I would dare anything for such a prize. Know you all, whilst Odin sleeps, the cunning Loki, prince of evil, doth rule the boundless universe.
Unspeakable villain, says Thor. Not even thy ring shall stop me now. Slay me if thou wilt. But I shall die for Asgard!
And Sif is like, so say we all! And they go attacking. But before they can do that, there is a giant ring of fire descending on Asgard. And we, of course, get a voice shouting from beyond,
now let Asgard feel the matchless might of Surtur! Now let the heavens tremble! Now let the kingdom crumble!
And the ring of fire is raining fireballs down on Asgard, and All the Asgardians are going running. It's weird because it looks like they're wearing spacesuits, but I guess that's just that weird Kirby futuristic armor that he has all the Asgardians wearing.
Flee, flee! We must flee before the endless flames.
Surtur lives. He hath broken free of Odin's spell. Now there be none to save us.
Flee, flee! We must flee before the endless flames.
And the caption says, the fight itself is futile, for the flames are everywhere.
The air grows hotter. The buildings themselves begin to melt.
So, yeah, it's pretty damn hot. And they kind of turn around. You know, the people in the throne room are distracted by all this. And Thor's like,
hold! What sudden panic now grips the realm?
The tortured cries. The mounting heat, says Baldur, can mean but one thing.
Surtur lives, says Sif.
And the fireballs are shooting through the royal palace and get exploding inward. We see Thor grabs Sif and drags her aside so she doesn't get smashed by the fireball. And even Loki seems rather taken aback by all this. And Baldur's going to pontificate here.
Only the omnipotent spell of Odin could hold him in eternal bondage. But now see what Loki hath unleashed upon us.
His power doth reach the castle itself. Thus none of us are safe. He must be stopped. He must be crushed.
Then do so, Prince of Evil. The scepter is now thine, says Thor.
And they're kind of trying to run out of the throne room.
In the streets, in the sky, his flames are everywhere.
Is this then how the world will end? Says Sif.
No, no. Loki says it cannot be. The Odin ring is mine. The crown is mine. The world is mine. None shall strip them from me.
And Thor is kind of pushing Loki aside here.
Witless coward, thou canst not hold what hath never have been rightly thine. Witless coward, thou canst not hold what hath never been rightly thine.
Find Surtur. Stop him, you must. I command thee.
'Tis too late for thy commands, says Thor.
Odin is Surtur's enemy sworn. With Odin gone, 'tis Loki Surtur shall attack in his stead.
Dost thou fear only for thyself, with all the realm in jeopardy? Says Thor.
So obviously he understands Loki perfectly.
What cares Loki for the realm? Loki is king. Loki must not perish.
Aye, death is too good for the likes of such as thee, says Thor.
And Loki goes running off and leaves Thor, Baldur, and Sif behind. And their throne room is completely wrecked.
Since the evil one hath fled, the thunder god is free to fight. Thus Thor shall lead the attack against deadly Surtur.
And we at thy side shall fight, my lord, says Sif.
Nay, there be other tasks for thee. I send thee both, ye who be closest to the heart of Thor, to wake the sleeping Odin. We dare not fail, for if we do, the world we know shall endure no more.
Though now we part, the heart of Sif is ever with thee.
Sif and Thor hug, and Thor goes to address the warriors who are standing outside.
Warriors, ho! I call thee to my side. The time has come to standard I. For Asgard!
And we have a next issue blurb. The Flames and the Finish. And that is Thor number 176. And of course, as always, we're going to have a few things to say about it. But first, a message from one of our friends.
Hey, Kiss Comics!
Hey, Michael!
Yeah?
We need to do a new promo.
A new one?
A new one.
Why?
Because we've moved.
Moved?
Moved! We've moved to a new place. We still read comics.
We do, we still talk about comics.
Because you can't do a comic book podcast unless you read and talk about comics, because that's kind of stupid. But now, we have a new episode still available every Thursday, but at twotruefreaks.libsyn.com.
Hey Kids Comics!
So remember, Hey Kids Comics has moved to twotruefreaks.libsyn.com. Still, every Thursday. That'll do, won't it?
And we're back. So, just a few things about this issue. One of the things that I find really interesting is that this issue is the return of Vinnie Coletta on inks. After a few issues of Bill Everett, I kind of was wondering, you know, over the last few issues, okay, is this actually indicative of a change in Kirby's style? And I think the return of Vinnie Coletta on inks here gives us the answer to that question. Yes, Kirby's style has changed significantly. Kirby is not drawing things in a lot of detail. He's drawing in a very sketchy way. Say what you like about about Vinnie Coletta and some of the, you know, things that he did while he was inking, like erasing lines and stuff like that. The way that the artwork looks, and Coletta is a known quality as far as the type of artist he is or type of inker he is. We can see here that Kirby is clearly phoning it in. Again, this is, I wouldn't say sloppy. I definitely, it looks really rushed. One can only assume at this point that he's working on other things. He's working on maybe, you know, the beginnings of the property that he's planning on taking over to DC, for all I know. But some of the faces are really wonky, and some of the faces are really almost not there at all. We have a lot of instances in here where the inks will just completely black out people's faces or put them in really, really heavy shadow in inappropriate lighting. And I don't know if that is, you know, Coletta just not wanting to ink faces, but it doesn't seem like it would be that big a deal to ink a face. I don't think that that's necessarily the hardest thing that Kirby's drawing to ink. And we also have some really weird anatomy and things that, again, this is not Kirby at his best. This is Kirby drawing in a rush and Coletta embellishing. And it's really obvious from the artwork that Kirby's heart wasn't in this. And I think by the time Kirby is gone, I'm going to kind of be ready for him to be gone. I think that, you know, when you get to a point where it shows so plainly that Kirby's losing interest in the material, that, you know, I almost don't want to, you know, almost don't want to see Kirby on the book anymore. It's a weird issue in part because obviously there's a lot going on. We actually have, I think this is the longest example we have of Fandral in action. We've got basically 2.5 pages of Fandral in solo combat. That's not something I don't think we've ever seen before. And I don't know if we're going to be seeing that again for a while. I thought that was really interesting. The subduing of Hogan, I thought, a bit odd. They don't show it. It all happens off screen. And then we have this vapor helmet that they force on his head. Again, you know, over the horns on his helmet, which should be poking through this thing. Because the thing really looks like a paper bag or, you know, a pumpkin or something. And it doesn't really look like it. I don't know. It looks like it should be bursting right through that thing. And there's not even a bulge or anything where the horn should be. So, I mean, obviously, Kirby wasn't thinking about that. Maybe they're, you know, he took the helmet off and they got the helmet on, and when he's unconscious, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. Volstagg being used here to great effect. I think that this, again, the Warriors 3 kind of shine in this issue, at least Fandral and Volstagg. We actually see Volstagg, you know, they've kind of portrayed him as being this kind of braggart and kind of a coward, but we actually see a different side of Volstagg here. And it's one that we'll see in later issues as well, and especially as we go later on into the series. And they don't play Volstagg as much for laughs. They actually have him able to do some real damage. And, I mean, that's as it should be. I mean, Volstagg, I mean, he's not just a big, heavy guy. He's also an Asgardian god. So he's got, you know, significant strength. And of course, he's also there for comedy relief. Again, I think that some of the layouts here, they're very, very rushed, and they're not Kirby's best, I'll say. Stan Lee, very prominent here in the writing. I'm not seeing a lot of Kirby here in the writing at all, and I'm wondering if, again, we have Kirby in a rush, not doing the sort of sketching out of dialogue that he did. And yeah, we know that sometimes the Stan kept that dialogue because it's pretty obvious. So, interesting issue this. Anyhow, that is about it for this week. So once again, folks, thanks very much for listening. I really do appreciate it. Now, if you want to email the show, feel free to do so. You can write to us at radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. And you can also join our Facebook group. So come join us there and join the conversations there. All right. And with that, I am going back over the Rainbow Bridge, back to Midgard, back to the frigid Towers of Chicago, and we'll see you next time here on Radio Free Asgard. You have been listening to Radio Free Asgard, a production of Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor and all associated characters are mostly copyright Marvel Comics. The stories presented are done so for educational, review, and entertainment purposes only. No ownership is implied. The silly voices, however, well, they're all me. Musical selections from Eden, The Invincible Sword of the Elvesmith, are copyright Mots Vent and are used with permission. If you like what you've heard on the show, we hope you'll leave us a review on iTunes, tell your friends, or even join our Facebook group. We really love hearing from our listeners, and we appreciate all of your support. Thanks once again very much for listening to Radio Free Asgard.